with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Thank you, David. Thank you, Sharon. In this room and outside of this room are people who have very strong feelings about this thing we call Christmas. And I want to address that just for a moment. There are people who stayed home from church today because they are so against Christmas. On the opposite of the scale are people who go to church only on Christmas because it's Christmas. And in between is everybody else. I want you to understand something. Scripturally, there's not a thing wrong with any one of those positions. Not a thing. Not a thing. Now, some of y'all say, oh, that's not right. Everybody should feel like I do. Then why don't they? Okay? All right. Give me a verse. Give me a verse. For those of you who took time away from your family to be here this morning, thank you. Thank you. For those of you who are doing whatever it is because it's what the Lord wants you to do, I submit to you, He says, thank you. I explained to you last week my feelings about Christmas and why I'm going to preach this morning the way that I'm going to preach. If you want to know what that is, buy the CD. It is for sale. For those of you who don't give gifts at Christmas, y'all just close your ears and that we do. Okay, this was what was waiting for me this morning. You want to see it? You know that you do. You know that you do. My wife made that for me. Isn't that great? She says, love. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that pretty?
Good job.
Good. Well, she did it, not me.
I said good job.
Chronological Christmas. This, to me, is the obvious thing for me to preach this morning based on what I told y'all last week. So let's jump right into it. Luke chapter 1. Turn there, please. We're going to look at the Christmas story chronologically as it happened. Now, I want to give you a little warning right now. Number one, I'm not going to finish at 12. The second part will be tonight. And I promise you, most of you are going to learn something tonight if you come back. Some of y'all know what it is that's going to be taught tonight. If you know this thing, don't give it away. Why? I want to give people a reason to come back tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Okay? So if you know the surprise in the story, then the second half of the story, don't give it away. Make them come back. If you want to know, if you don't come back tomorrow, but tonight, I'll send you the thing tomorrow for a small fee. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod. Stop right there. Charlie Brown said it was Caesar Augustus. Did he not? Actually, that's not true. Charlie Brown did not say it was Caesar Augustus. That's Linus that tells the Christmas story. And some of y'all think, hey, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to watch them actually talk about Jesus on TV, and they still do it, and I'm glad. But Linus said to Caesar Augustus, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, which was ruled by Rome, which was ruled by Caesar Augustus. So Herod was a subservient king of Caesar Augustus. But Herod died in 4 BC. That creates a problem. Herod did die in 4 BC. How could the Christmas story be true as it's told if Herod died 4 years before it happened? Very simple. The people who made our calendar weren't alive when this happened. Okay? Our calendar's at least 4 years off. Some people think it's as much as 8 years off. Now, for us, nobody really cares, but in the Y2K, that was a big deal because some people thought that God was going to do something in the year 2000. Problem is, they were 4 years late. If God was going to do something in the year 2000, it would have been in 1996, minimum. So anyway, this happened while Herod was alive before year one. a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, the eighth of 24 divisions, which Ray read earlier in 1 Corinthians 24. Some of you are saying, why in the world did Danny make him read that? I wanted you to understand the Christmas story started way back there.
Amen. Yep.
Way back there. I lost it. Normally it goes backwards for me. Let's see here. Let's see here. I can fix this. Go here and there. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now we're going backwards. That should fix it. There we go. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. This does not say they were sinless. This does not say they were sinless. This is extremely important as we go through this thing. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. This was seen as a curse, but God often made it a miracle, such as with Sarah, and that's what he's going to do in this case as well. Never discount God's ability to be God.
Amen.
Never discount God's ability to be God. He specializes in taking the horrible and making it special. He specializes in that. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord on the altar of incense. Now, I started to put a picture of the altar of incense up based on what we've been studying, but you know what? It's a different altar of incense. Totally different one. The altar that he used is not the one we've been studying about. And again, in about 20 years when we finally get to it, you'll understand why. Due to the number of priests, this honor only came once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime, it had happened to fall right here. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This don't sound like the right story, does it? Without John, there can be no Jesus. Without John, there can be no Jesus. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. John's birth. John's birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, which makes him a Nazarite, which we studied in Numbers chapter 6. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. This is important. This does not say he will be saved before he's born. Okay? It is entirely possible to be filled with the Holy Ghost and not be saved.
True.
Thank you for that. Verse 16. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, which is actually Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, which is the very last two verses of the Old Testament. Now, this story falls at the very beginning of the New Testament. But in between Malachi chapter 4 and the beginning of the New Testament is 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence. But literally, the Old Testament ends right where the New Testament begins. It ends right exactly where the New Testament begins. 18. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? So wait, what you talking about, Willis? If you know that, you're an old one, okay? For I'm an old man, my wife well stricken in years. He obviously forgot about the story of Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
The angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, now we're starting to get a little familiar with the story now, right? Okay. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. I thought the glad tidings were about Jesus. John. John came first. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, that's not able to talk. Not able to talk. And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. This guy was the priest offering incense on the altar of incense and didn't believe God when he talked to him out loud. Miracles do not convince. Right. Truth convinces. Miracles were always to validate the message. We now have the message. We don't need the miracles anymore. Verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. What's taking so long in there? I got lunch ready. Goes all the way back to the beginning of time. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. He went home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This, chronologically, is where this verse happened. There is a great debate on whether John the Baptist was in fact Elijah. I believe, and I think I can prove, John the Baptist was the real Elijah. She hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. She's now 5 months pregnant. She's showing. In the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now we're into the normal story. Okay? Understand, the story starts long before you traditionally hear it. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that are highly favored. I want to show you something. David, you're going to love this. Wade, you may already know this, but this will make you shout if you're a Sovereign Grace person, okay? The same Greek word for highly favored. The exact same Greek word for highly favored is used one other place in Scripture. For all believers, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise and glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The exact same thing that He addresses Mary with here, He addresses us, all believers. Why? Because we have the exact same thing, God's grace. Mary was not special. She was not sinless. This does not say that she had earned any kind of position. She was just like one of us. Loved by God. Amen. Nothing more. Amen. The Lord is with thee. That's when you say, and also with thee. Little Catholic joke there. You remember that, don't you? I've always wanted to do that. Know where it comes from. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed does not mean that she earned anything. The word blessed means happy. That's all it means. Happy. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this should be. In other words, what? Now, she was probably in her early teens. Let me say that again. Probably in her early teens. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She didn't earn it. God just simply chose to give it to her, which is the definition of grace. Amen. Unmerited favor. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, I'm a virgin. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now this verse is misquoted a lot. We have a way of taking this verse to say that God will do whatever I ask Him to do. That's not what that verse says. This verse says God will do anything He says He's going to do.
That's right.
Yep. God will do anything He says He's going to do. Verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now we've all seen Mary say this in a Christmas play, but we've never understood what she's saying here. The handmaid, slave, female slave, the slave of God, be it unto me according to thy word. What is she saying here? Watch the screen. She is accepting being seen as an adulteress.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Now I want you to imagine, could never happen, but a teenage girl shows up pregnant. What's the very first thing that we think?
Killing me.
That's the first thing that they thought with Mary. That's the very first thing. And she's accepting it. And the angel departed from her. John 1, verse 14a, comes next chronologically. The Word was made flesh. Isaiah 7, 14a, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is chronologically where it happened. Galatians 4, 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The question is when was the fullness of time? Scripture tells us. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, unto Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. 483 years. Artaxerxes ordered Jerusalem to be rebuilt in 445 BC. Without going into specifics, the Messiah must enter the world approximately here. If Jesus is not the Messiah, no one else could be. If Jesus is not the Messiah, no one else could be. Romans 1:3. Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made in the seed of David according to the flesh. Philippians 2:7, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He was alive before He became flesh.
Yes.
And was made in the likeness of men, but He hasn't even been born. He's a fetus. The teeniest, tiniest little life that you can imagine. That's what Jesus was when He came into this world.
Uh-huh.
Luke 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Why? Because without John there can be no Jesus. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John leaped in her womb. Was he already saved? No. There's no such thing as being already saved at birth. Okay? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be saved to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can prove that from other parts of the Bible as well. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Not super sinless, happy. Happy. Art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. How did he know? The Holy Spirit told him. The Holy Spirit's job is not about magic. The Holy Spirit's job is about communicating truth. That's what He does. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. All the stuff that you heard, it's going to happen. The next section is called the Magnificat. You ever heard that term before, the Magnificat?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't answer out loud, but does anyone know why it's called the Magnificat? All right, you're going to learn this today because I've never knew. I want to teach you something today. Magnificat is the first word in the Latin translation, which is where we get the names of the first five books of the Bible. It's just what Jerome called it when he translated it into Latin. But it really doesn't have anything special to us. That's why we've never made it special. But typically it's called the Magnificat because the Catholic Church has referred to it in such. 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Very, very, very important.
Amen.
Mary was not sinless.
Right.
She needed a Savior.
Yes.
"For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And there's not a thing wrong with calling her blessed unless you refer it in a different way. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Drawing from many passages, so many that I didn't even list them. Drawing from many passages, it is clear that Mary knew Scripture at an early teenage. Something like you. Mary knew Scripture. It would make her sick to know that some people pray to her.
Yes.
By the way, I don't believe that she does. I can't prove it, but I don't believe that she knows. I believe it would absolutely make her nauseous to think that people pray to her. I think this Magnificat, this little speech that she made there, I think it makes it clear what she thought about herself and what she thought about Jesus and who she wanted people to focus on. But in this world, there are so many people that focus on her instead of Jesus.
Yeah.
"And Mary abode with her about 3 months." That's important. That was likely John's birth, since she arrived in Elizabeth's 6th month. "And returned to her own house." Matthew chapter 1 comes next chronologically. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ," by the way, Jesus is His name. Christ is His title. His name is not Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word, which means Messiah, which is a Hebrew word, which means chosen one. That's all it means, chosen one. Another way to say it is elect. Elect. There are those that don't believe in election because they say, well, Jesus is called elect. Yes, He is. He was chosen for a job just like we were chosen for salvation. It simply means chosen. That's all it means. Christ is a Greek word which means Messiah, which is a Hebrew word which means anointed one or chosen one. "The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or this is how it happened. "When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," and we all know the story about they were engaged but not fully married, but it was more of a legal type thing. I'm not going to go into all that. You can get that in regular place. Before they came together, before they consummated the union, "she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man..." This is important.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Yeah.
Her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or to have a private divorce and just send her away. Now, you have to understand that for a woman to be divorced in those days meant that she was going to probably never get married and probably never have a livelihood because women did not work in those days. Okay? He's relegating her to a life of poverty. But when you consider that stoning was the legal punishment in Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 through 24, he was being extremely kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He could have taken her out to the city street. She's pregnant. It's not mine. And everyone would join in stoning her. By the way, that happens today in the Middle East.
Yes, it does.
Don't think for a second. Don't think for a second that Islam is a religion of peace. It's not. It's a religion of peace as long as you believe in Islam. They'll be peaceful with you as long as you do what they say, which is what anybody would do. But as soon as you cross them, guess what? You're going to die if you don't change what you believe. In the Middle East, you don't hear a whole lot about that. You know why? They're scared to death. By the way, let me throw this out at you. There's a big question today. Why don't American Muslims speak out against the atrocities of Islam? Because they'll kill them here too.
Yes, they will.
They'll kill them here too. They're terrified.
Honor killing.
I got this. They're terrified. Okay? Don't criticize a Muslim for keeping quiet. They're just trying to preserve their own life.
Yes.
20. But while he thought on these things, this troubled him. This is something that deeply, deeply interrupted his plans. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is his name. Everything else, titles. He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what?
Emmanuel.
Now, I've never been to a Christmas story where they called him Emmanuel. Tonight they talked about the baby being called John, but I ain't never heard anybody ever call Jesus Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 7:14 is where that passage is found. Like Christ, Emmanuel was a title. Emmanuel was a title, not what went on his driver's license. His driver's license said, he didn't have a driver's license. What's the matter with you guys? 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. This was significant on his part as well because they were seen as adulterers now. Okay? And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, but nobody knew that he knew her not. Luke 2, verse 1 comes next chronologically. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Oh, Linus finally picks up the story. Isn't that great? It's a whole lot more to this than this little bitty, nice little sweet thing that we see on TV. By the way, Caesar Augustus, his real name is Caius Octavius. And I say, how could that be? When the Pope, which by the way holds the office of Caesar, when the Pope becomes Pope, they change his name. The current Pope is Pope Francis, but he wasn't born with the name Francis. He had somebody else's name until he became Pope. Same thing with Caesars. Okay, they changed their names. But Caius Octavius was this guy's name. He's the grandnephew, adopted son, watch this, and primary heir to Julius Caesar, that guy that you've heard about. The primary heir to Julius Caesar. Augustus was a title indicating deity. Very interesting. He reigned until Jesus was about 10 years old. Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. That word there should be counted, not taxed, counted, census, registered. This was one of several censuses required every 14 years. Now watch the screen. This is going to blow your mind. The Jews regarded them as insulting, as numbering implied ownership. They hated these things. David was severely disciplined by God for initiating a census in 2 Samuel 24. Only God could initiate a census of the Jews because he's the only one that owned them. The revolt in Acts 5:37. I know you don't recognize that, but check it out. The revolt in Acts 5:37 was a result of one of these censuses. The exact same thing. The Jews hated them. It was a way of saying, I own you. This tax was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. We've all heard this. We've seen it in the plays, and not one of us has ever considered the problem. Does anyone see the obvious problem with this? Well, let me tell you the obvious problem with this. It's a problem chronologically since Cyrenius governed in 6 to 9 AD. Not BC. Herod was 4 BC. Now we're into 80. The years are all messed up. After this would have occurred. Is the Bible wrong? Is it possible that, I don't know, history might be wrong? I love archaeology. Love it. Archaeology has discovered he, in fact, ruled twice. Huh. Proven. He, in fact, ruled twice. All went to be taxed or counted, everyone into his own city. Why would they do that, by the way? It's a way of controlling the vote. You don't want to have him vote here and they come over here and vote over here. Okay, they had one polling place and that's where you were born. You couldn't be in this town and this town at the same time. That's why they did it that way. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was the house and lineage of David. To be taxed was Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. That's 70 miles through mountains. I don't know if you ever traveled with a woman for 70 miles. I do it every week. Let me tell you something about women who travel 70 miles. They got to stop, and they got to stop a lot. I want you to imagine a woman traveling 70 miles pregnant. Through the mountains. Okay, this didn't happen overnight. This is not get up early on Sunday morning and be there by lunchtime. This took them quite some time. Through the mountains. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Imagine that. How about that? What God said was going to happen actually did. Always does, by the way. Yep. Always does. And she brought forth her firstborn son. That should tell us something real big right there. Mary later had other children, both male boys and females, boys and girls.
Right.
She had other children. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are little strips of cloth. You've heard about them. Some Eastern cultures still do this. They still do it. Why? It's thought to strengthen the bones is why they do it. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, typically, the Christmas story is in a barn, all right, of some sort. The only evidence that we have that Jesus was born in a barn is that word manger. That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the only evidence of it. Mm-hmm. I submit to you, it don't matter. It don't matter. I was asked earlier today, they think they have found the place where Jesus' body was laid after his crucifixion. And how do I feel about that? Okay? Scripture says those that worship God, Scripture says God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about the physical. It don't matter where all this stuff happened, the fact that it did happen and why it happened, what was accomplished, that's what we're concerned with.
Yeah.
Isaiah 7:14b, this is where this takes place. Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall bear a son. He's already been in the physical world for 9 months. He's already been in the physical world for 9 months. But he now is coming outside his mother's body. John 1:14b, the Word dwelt among us. Again, the Word was made flesh 9 months before the Word dwelt among us. Have you figured out my position on abortion, by the way? Okay.
Yeah.
You cannot get any kind of scriptural grounds for abortion anywhere. It's just that there's nowhere.
Correct.
Nowhere. By far, though, the most important verse regarding Christ's birth is this. And by the way, this is where we're going to stop. Why? The clock says 12 o'clock. It's time for me to stop. And I don't want y'all walking out of here. I appreciate y'all taking time on Christmas morning to come here. Okay? We'll finish the story tonight.
Good.
Make no mistake, though. The most important verse, by far the most important verse regarding Christ's birth, is the one I'm going to put up right now. So pay attention closely. You will not see it in any Christmas play. You will not see it in any nativity scene. Nowhere. But one verse in the Bible is more important than any other regarding His birth. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto Him, this was just before Jesus was crucified, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pay very close attention. Without the death of Jesus, His birth is absolutely, totally meaningless.
Amen.
Absolutely, totally meaningless. I'm a movie buff. I like watching movies because there's so much of our society that's entwined in it. The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. What's that movie called? Talladega Nights, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. He always prayed to the baby Jesus. Dear baby Jesus, thank you for this and thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That. Why do you pray to the baby Jesus? Oh, he's cute. He's cute. We love Christmas because it's cute. We've got to get past the baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. If... And hear me clearly. Hear me clearly. If you want to focus on when He came into the world, you got to go back 9 months earlier.
Yeah.
You got to go back 9 months earlier. If when He came to this world as a fetus is not important, when He came into this world as an infant is also not important.
Right.
You've got to take it all the way to the end and say, why did He come in to this world?
That's right.
Is this time of year just out of control? Yes, it is. But what an opportunity for us to say, do you know why He came into the world?
Mm-hmm.
I dare you. I dare each and every one of you today, somebody, why did Jesus come into the world? And see if they can tell you.
Uh-huh.
And then, don't laugh at them. Say, can I show you what the Bible says? And then take them to this verse right here. I dare you. I dare you to take them to John 18:37 and say, you know what? Jesus Himself said He came into this world to die. Mm-hmm. Do you know why He had to die? Because had He not died, we would all die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't even stop there. If you stop there, they think everybody goes to heaven because Jesus came. And a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Have you met Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Or is He just a fairy tale? I'm not going to give an invitation. I don't do that. But please take this challenge. Tonight we'll finish the story. Spoiler alert, there is something in the Christmas story that everybody gets wrong. If you know what it is, keep your mouth shut. Come back tonight, you'll learn something. Let's stand. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank You for coming to this world. Thank You for loving me so much that on purpose You came to a place so You could be killed to pay for my sins. Forgive me for being so distracted by all the noise of this world that I forget the fact that You love me. Help me to love others and take them from where they're at today to where they need to be. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of telling others about you. In Jesus' name, amen.